Appreciate the singing.
I've said this before, and of course, not a lot of places would anymore, even churches in Pulaski County, their pastors get up and make statements like I make here sometimes. I do believe that President Trump, has his voting record and his positions, has been one of the best of any presidents that I've known. I appreciate just yesterday they wanted him to fly the colors of the gay lesbian group, the rainbow, and he refused to do that at the White House. Refused to put their flag up on the flagpole. I appreciate that. When I see Donald Trump, scripture that comes to my mind is how God can take a king and turn his heart like he turns a river.
Amen.
I believe he's changed. He's turned his heart, because I knew him before and I've watched him in a lot of things, and I mean, you don't even recognize him as the same person sometimes. And I believe he's in the position that he is and doing the things that he's doing is because I believe after we went through the last 8 years, God's people, that small remnant, got desperate enough that they got on their faces before God and started praying, asking God to do something for our country.
Amen.
And I believe that's why he's there. But just because we've got someone that's making good sound policies, and not that I agree with everything 100%, but as I said, he's probably more in line with me than any other president I've known. Don't be deceived. Our country is in dire mess. What it reveals when you watch our nation is it reveals how pitiful our nation has gotten.
Amen.
How pathetic of people that we're sending up to Washington, D.C. It is a cesspool. It is downright, well, be honest with you, it's downright criminal.
Amen.
You just can't get nothing done around there. Anybody hear of Nathan Larson? Anybody, Nathan Larson, running for Congress? He is the one that, because of the law in Virginia, the Democratic governor that just left a term, another one was brought in, they decided to let felons vote. When they get out of jail, then they're able to vote, and they're able to run for office. And so he's running for Congress. I want to read just a little bit, if you don't mind. I don't normally do this, as you know, but I want to do it tonight. Let me get to the place where I was. It says, Nathan Larson is a pedophile and a white supremacist, and he's running for Congress. He advocates pedophiles and being able to do that, white supremacy, and he advocates rape and taking rape off the laws. He served 16 months in prison, threatening to kill the president. I believe it was Bush, I'm not sure. He's a 37-year-old accountant from Virginia, and he's running independent as he calls himself a quasi-neo-actionary libertarian. his platform, including legalizing drug use, the elimination of all regulations regarding firearms, and putting an end to U.S. involvement in foreign wars, and also or foreign wars that arise from our country's alliance with Israel. Let me say that. He's running against some other Democrats, and some of the Democrats in their campaign speeches compares President Trump to Osama bin Laden and said they think he's worse than he is, which shows you how ignorant those people are. He served 16 months in prison, and as I said, he's able to do this because they're allowing him his rights restored. In his manifesto that he's written, he's a fan of Adolf Hitler, the Nazi leader. He wants to build up white supremacy. He wants to eliminate any child labor laws. And he wants to legalize being able to marry children. He also wants to legalize incest and child pornography. Ask if he's a pedophile or just wrote about sex fantasies. He said it's a mix of both. When people goes over the top, there's a grain of truth to what they say. And he said a lot of people's tired of political correctness and being constrained. He also, let me get on down here and share just another thing. He also is antagonist against women. He believes the feminists are responsible for a lot of things, but he believes Congress should repeal the Violence Against Women Act and that women should be treated as sex slaves and baby factories. Now, Chris thought it was bad a while ago when her dishwasher tore up. I said, well, I thought I married one. She thought she married one. But he wants to go to have women do that. He said we need to switch a system that classifies women as property. Let them marry when they're young children. That way their husband can take them and mold them. Molest them, that's right. And I don't know, I'm about tired of reading all this garbage. I'll stop right there, but let me say this. It goes to the cesspool of our country when we got people like this running for office. Isaiah 59, Israel was going through the same thing. Their society was being torn down. Verse 1, Lord says, behold the Lord's hand. Isaiah said, Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy, that it cannot hear. In other words, he said, listen, God can change Israel. Israel was in the same condition as America. A lot of similarities. God can save America. It's not God's inability to do it. Somebody said, and you know, President Trump had the slogan, make America great again. Some things that he wanted great is good, but there's other things that I'd like to see come back that would really make America great. But I don't think we'll ever see it unless something happens. But it's not because God can't make it happen. But there's a reason why it won't happen. Same reason with Israel. He said God's hand's not short and he can do this. He can come to you and he can save you and he can fix your problems in your country, Israel. But look in verse 2. He said, but your what? Has what? Separated. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not what? He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. Now, when I'm reading this, just concentrate a little bit on Washington and listen to the words as I... It sounds like I'm reading right out of watching them operate up there. It says, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs, that's a poisonous snake, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. That which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. In other words, what they're creating through their policies and so forth is just creating a bunch of more snakes, wickedness, evil. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Now think about that. Make haste to shed innocent blood. Now the Virginia governor that just took over from the governor that made this policy to allow this guy to run, he agrees with the policy, by the way. But he also made a statement the other day, if you listen to it. He said, after a baby's born, talking about abortion, then we can decide, the mother and doctor can decide what they want to do with it. Kill it, let live. What constitution are they reading? Where are they coming from? You know, they're trying their best to figure out some way to define when a baby is a baby. They have all these little ideas. Well, it has to be born. Somebody said the other day, argued Beth there on a website, one of our cousins, that it has to be born to be a baby. Bible says so. I said, where in the Bible does it say anything such thing as that? What the Bible does say is this. When you cause mischief to a pregnant woman, you kill her baby. You were stoned to death because an eye for an eye and a life for a life. Amen. You took a life. But the Bible says when they're in this situation that they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their past. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment, by the way. They'll never have any peace. Somebody said, well, I heard somebody say, reckon they'll ever have any peace up there if they're not going to have peace? They don't know how, what peace is. And the reason why is because of the iniquities and sin has so got their life. It says, the way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. There is judgment far from us. Neither the justice take over or overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night, and we are desolate places as dead men. In other words, there's truth right before them, and they can't even see it. They just stumble around, don't get nothing. You watch them, you think, how ignorant can people be? Verse 11. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment. Now notice in verse 10, Isaiah quit saying they and them and theirs. He starts saying we, us, and ours. He says, we roar like bears and we mourn like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, departing away from our God, speaking oppression, revolt, conceiving, uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation to him, his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on a righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. First of all, I want you to notice their problem. Their problem is the same problem we have. The problem with our nation is, if you look back in verse number 2, is but your what? Sin. Sin has always been a downfall. From Adam and Eve, it was passed on to all of us. Somebody said, what are they showing up in Washington? They are showing their heart. How wicked and evil their hearts are. They are full of iniquity. Their iniquities have separated them from God, and therefore God will not hear their prayers. He'll not bless them. He'll not commune. I was thinking a while back in 9/11, some of these same people gathered around the steps, and all the senators and representatives, and they got together and they prayed. Same one wants to put prayer out of everything. They made a pretense of praying. I hate to tell them, but their iniquity is separated them. God does not hear their prayers. If you look in verse 2, he says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not what? He will not hear. Therefore, what you need to understand is that these people, what had caused them to get to the shape they were in was iniquity and sin. Amen. Now, you've got to remember there is a principle that was taught in the Old Testament. It's still taught today in the New Testament. The principle of sowing. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that principle is when you sow something, you reap more. If you sow to the flesh, you reap more flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap more of the Spirit. What do we mean by that? Look, if you would, in verse number 12. He says, for our transgressions are what? You know why they're multiplied? Because when you sow and you continue to sow that kind of stuff, it continues to increase. It multiplies. It gets where it's unreal. The ugliness, the wickedness. And now there's no shame in it. There used to be things that they were ashamed of. There used to be things that people wouldn't even talk about. I'll be honest with you. Passing a law on same-sex marriage, that would have been unheard of a decade ago or two. Why, nobody would even brought it up. And as a matter of fact, even when Obama run as president, he went to Rick, I can't think of his name. He was a pastor over there and wrote a church or a book. Rick Warren. And he stood there and he said, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. And him and his wife both said afterwards that he was lying the whole time. Said because she went and told the gay community, said, just wait till he's president, then we'll pass some laws. They've made that open since then. Didn't hear one peep out of the media about how much lying he did. And you're not going to. But my point is this. iniquity. It continues to increase and grow. Then what happens? We have a moral collapse. Look, if you wouldn't, three. Begin to murder, take people's lives. Have no respect for people's lives. Could care less. I tell you what, buddy, in this nation anymore, there's people that could care less about other people's lives. Tim was telling me about some little boy got his dad, was it his dad or boyfriend or what? The boyfriend of his mother broke 26 bones. I like to take somebody like that and tie them to a pole and just give them a good old horse whipping. But vengeance not mine. But I'll say this. How cruel can people get? They have no compassion. They'll kill you for anything. I'll tell you what. These big cities has nothing for me. Chris, she said, I'd like to go see New York. I said, I could care less about New York City. And I know some y'all went there. And I mean, I don't have anything wrong if you want to go and visit those things. I'd like to see a couple of them myself. But I just don't want to go there. Kelly has to go on his job several times. I just have no desire to go in any big city. It's bad enough around here. But boy, there's places in there that you go, you get in the wrong place, they'll kill you for nothing. They'll kill you for your shoes, your money, whatever you got. They'll kill you and never hesitate. You know why iniquities has abound? Same thing's happening in here in Israel. He said, you're murdering each other for no reason at all. Look on in verse 3. He says, your fingers with iniquity and your lips have spoken what? Yeah. Can't believe nothing. Somebody said, what do you think of washing? I think they're a bunch of liars. They tell you whatever they want, they think you want to hear. And most people are plays the fool enough to play that game. I want to know what a man's going to do. You know what I admire about the president? He told us what he's going to do, and he went in there and tried to do it. Thank God. And even the things I disagree with him, at least he's going to do what he said he's going to do. What happens when your iniquity continues to increase and you have moral collapse? Your tongue muttereth what? Perverseness. There's nothing off bounds anymore. Why do you think Kentucky, for the first time in a long time, had to pass a bestiality law? Having sex with animals. But you know, Brother Sisson made a point of this. I don't know if you caught it or not. Their justification, some of those liberal politicians that didn't want to make a strong stand on this, you know the justification for passing it? Cruelty to animals. Cruelty to animals. Not the perverseness of it. And I'm going to tell you what, if this country ever passes pedophiles being able to marry children, the next thing is they'll be marrying animals. Verse 4, none call for justice. In other words, it's hard to see people get justice. People right now should be locked up in prison. If you and I had committed some things that some of the people in Washington commit, you and I would be in prison right now. I often think about this. And I don't want to pick on the Clintons, but yes, I do. If the FBI was investigating us and we tore our evidence up and threw it away and burned it and beat it with a hammer and all that, we'd be in prison right now. No questions asked. He says, none call for justice nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief. They bring forth iniquity. Verse number 7. The Bible says their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. We talked about that. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Society. Now listen to me. Liberalism, materialism, humanism is destroying this country. And what it is it's bringing the nation to their knees. Now let me say this too. A while back we had a couple of states, and I know this may be sound like a political message, but if it is, just let it be one. We had Colorado come in and said, well, we've got to do municipal marijuana for all those poor people suffering that needs to smoke it. That's just going to help them. Oh, no, we're not doing it for pleasure, not for the drug use, not for the THC value. Just from this, all them poor people are suffering in pain. Only thing that can relieve their pain is this marijuana. Then quick as they got it, next thing come along. Oh, by the way, we need to go ahead and pass it for recreational use. Then after they got that, said, hey, let's go ahead and pass magic mushrooms and hallucinate a little bit while we're doing it. Same thing here. Oh, we just want a little alcohol in there at restaurants. We're not going to have liquor stores. Well, we're not going to have bars. We're not going to have places where you can take it out of the place and drive on the road. Yeah, okay. Immorality is promoted on everything we turn. Music, movies, schools. Liberalism is bringing issues of homosexuality and so forth and pushing on kindergartens, first graders, second graders, third graders. They're pushing it as early as they can get it in schools. Denying truth, as 15 says, verse 13, removing God from everything. They've removed God from school. They've removed God from everything that we've got. When you have that, you have spiritual collapse. When God is denied or forsaken, a society will fall. The word is mocked and rejected. That's what's going on anymore. You have someone have an issue, watch it. Have someone stand up in Washington when they're having an issue and stand up and quote the scripture and see what they do. You know what they do? They mock and laugh. I laughed at President Trump while he's over there honoring D-Day veterans. He quoted from President Roosevelt's prayer. A lot of them would have kicked on it. But because he was Democrat president, they didn't kick on it. But I laughed because a lot of them, and that French president, he's kind of atheistic in his beliefs. He didn't like the fact of God being mentioned and prayer being mentioned and those things being mentioned. Spiritual collapse. The cure, verse 10 through 15, Isaiah says, is confessing our sin, admitting with God, agreeing with him. We've got to do that and confess our sin. The other cure we've got. And by the way, if this nation, if Israel had improved, if this nation improves, the only thing that makes it improve, if we as a nation begin to confess our sin and pour out our heart and agree with God. Somebody said that'll never happen. Well, it may not. And if it doesn't, then we'll continue into a moral and spiritual decline. The other hope we have is Jesus, and that's what's in verse 16 on down through 21. When the Messiah comes, when Jesus comes, he'll set things right. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to close. Sometimes people say, preacher, living in these days, we just need to throw our hands up and quit. No, I want to encourage you to do four things. And let me give you these four things. I'm closing. One is, while we're facing all these issues and we're seeing the decline of our nation, We're seeing all the issues coming up in our nations. Number one, we need to strive for revival in our own lives. The second thing is, when we have to make a stand, we make a stand. Even when some people don't like it, we make a stand. We got a lot of criticism a while back for making a stand against alcohol here. I got several people to dump some alcohol in my yard, different things. That's okay. Say different things, that's okay too. But sometimes we have to make a stand. Third thing is, now listen, you need to vote. Don't you sit back and let a bunch of liberal-minded people continue to get in our offices.
Amen.
Last but not least, we need to preach. Continue preaching. Preach the gospel. Not many people listening to it anymore, but like we preached this morning, you never know when God is going to take his word, but we do know this. Whenever we preach it, it never returns void.
No. Amen.
God has a purpose for it. And so those are things that we need to continue doing, even in a perverse nation. And we need to pray for the leaders of our country. Amen. Let's stand tonight.